You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, nuns have boobs. Let's be perfectly frank. Number one.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Recording in progress. Is that Siri or Alexa? Like, who is that voice? Is that a famous voice or no?
Legally, it's neither.
Oh, okay.
I do think that, man, some guy like just like stumbling upon a woman at a bar and like, you know, ended up like one thing leads to another and he realizes that he's making love to Alexa's voice like that. I'm not going to lie. That would be that, like, that wouldn't be a bad thing if I was a guy and then like that's you just stumbled into that.
It is a point of fantasy to a certain extent, I guess, depending on how desperate you are to meet a woman.
And, you know, anyone looking for the man's voice of that, it'd be the You've Got Mail guy. If anyone looking for courtship from a man stumbled upon the You've Got Mail.
How come they're all women? How come they're all female voices?
Well I mean, I just said You've Got Mail.
I know,
mail.
But I
mean,
except that. Except, like, more recently, like, I've Got Mail guy is, like, from the 90s.
It's because, Dad, times have changed and we let women do things now.
Okay. No, I understand that. Speaking of females, I have to ask the question that's on my mind, if not America's mind. Have you found the tooth yet?
Go on.
You're unaware that your daughter lost a tooth?
Oh.
I mean, I didn't think we were talking about my personal life, so I thought we were, you know.
I thought there was something in pop culture that you were referencing. I'm like, Lucy's got an extra one. I don't know.
Christy and I were out of town, like at a hotel on Saturday, so she was staying with my in-laws, and yeah, they lost a tooth and they lost it in the chair. What an adorable note my daughter wrote, though.
Oh my god,
they like wrote a my mother-in-law made my daughter write a note to the tooth fairy of just like, hey, we lost the tooth in the couch, can you please give me money still, basically. Is what the note said.
It's all about the money. What's the modern tooth worth? Like, when I was a kid, it was worth, I think, $1.
Oh, wow. You started out rich.
I think we did this a few weeks ago with when my daughter lost a tooth. But
she lost a tooth a few weeks ago?
No, it's been a while since we've had, and I don't remember the conversation, but I know we've had it.
I think it was, I think we actually gave her a $5 bill for her first tooth, but now it's $1. $1 a tooth, yeah, is what we do. I don't know. Yeti, that's a lot.
I think it's $1 now for us. I'm saying for Greg back in 1953 or 55,
yeah, it would have been like a nickel.
Losing teeth.
It would have been a nickel, right? Mom, can I get a nickel so I can go buy a carton of eggs?
Right, that's what I would have thought. Like, yeah, 1959 when Greg would have started losing teeth, I thought, yeah, maybe like a nickel. Because like, even I was like a dime or a quarter. Now, we were poor and I was the oldest of seven.
You know what? Now that you mention it, I think it was a quarter under my pillow.
Yeah. Like, yeah, a dime or a quarter or something like that. But like, I think we're up to $1 in our house.
What was like when you were growing up, Dad, and you're like 10 years old, 11.
Right.
And like on a Saturday, you guys are gonna go like get a like is there sub shops back then? Like the equivalent of Subway. Like how much would that cost for like you, Nana, Pop, Uncle Dick, like the four of you to have like a nice lunch out?
You know what's weird is that when I was about that age, I'm not even sure if McDonald's had been invented yet.
Hmm.
Like I think McDonald's came along like in the late 50s, something like that.
Or would Nana just like buy like a loaf of bread and you guys would, you know, have mayo, like mayo sandwiches or something?
Yeah, we would eat at home. We would have a sandwich at home. And typically it would be like a bologna sandwich with mustard. And if we were feeling really saucy, she would like fry the bologna. And
oh,
it would,
yeah,
be like a, no, like grew, a hot, yeah, bologna sandwich.
Did you grow up eating potted meat?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, potted meat, sure, food product.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Cheese. Is this cheese? In, like, are we at least putting cheese on this sandwich?
I didn't put cheese on my bologna sandwich.
Wow.
It was like two slices of bologna.
Wow.
You know, with a little mustard. It was pretty good, actually.
I'm not going to lie. Like a little seared bologna doesn't sound terrible.
No, that's, yeah, if you're living saucy, you sear it up. Yeah, it, But yeah, we were bologna. We'd splurge and have cheese. Although I don't know the cheese we put on it, you could call it cheese, but we'd splurge.
Baby.
what do you mean you could call it cheese? What does that mean?
I mean, like it's like Kraft plastic is what it looked like more like you know, the little Kraft singles slices or whatever. Yeah. Melting properties though. But like, so how old were you when you started going to Villa Rose and like, what would that run the family?
That would probably be when I was a little older, maybe 12, 15.
That was like quarterly, like a big night out, right? Mm-hmm. That was like...
I cannot overemphasize that going out to dinner, quote unquote, was a big deal in my household growing up because we didn't have that much money and 95% of our meals were home cooked.
Same.
And, you know, we rarely, if ever, went out to lunch.
Did you guys bring in Villa Rose more?
No, we would almost always go there. And it was a big occasion. Going out to dinner at all, we used to go to this Italian restaurant in North Miami somewhere. I can't remember the name of it. But that was like, it's amazing how times have changed. I was going to get around to mentioning later that I went to a super fancy Miami restaurant last night called Claw, spelled with a K, K-L-A-W.
Oh, I've heard of that. That's super expensive.
Oh, my God. It was super expensive. A ribeye steak is $190.
Oh,
I drank a couple of beers from Mexico, a beer called Tulum, T-U-L-U-M, which I love, by the way. $18 for that. It was just insane. We had gotten a gift card from somebody for $275, and we still ended up, the three of us still ended up spending like $400-something. So it was crazy.
Yeah.
But that, like, when I grew up, just going to an Italian restaurant and having spaghetti and meatballs, and the total bill for the three of us would be, you know, probably $40 or something, you know. So it's, I really appreciate.
We thought McDonald's was high living. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just going out to doing anything other than hamburger helper at the house was
anything
like
with waitress service.
High living.
Yeah, anything in a restaurant where you sat down and a waiter or waitress served you was high end in the world I grew up in.
And now so we went to Whataburger last night. It was $50. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
For it's just burgers and fries.
Dude, you can't eat. Two people can't eat nowadays for like under $50.
No.
Like when Christy and I were first dating, like it's palpable the difference. We used to be able to go to lunch for like $30. Like we could like each have like a Coke, a sandwich each and $30-something for lunch. Now it's like $55-$60 like just for like each ordering a dish and a drink, like not even alcohol. Like it's crazy how much the food prices have gone up.
No, I don't go to fast food that much, but I drove through McDonald's probably a month ago and
you didn't even eat. You just were like,
no,
I
ordered.
Oh, okay.
I ordered a Big Mac meal. And I was genuinely surprised that it was over $10. Like, yeah. I thought it would be, like, less than 10. I got a 10 out of my wallet.
When I was in middle school, it was probably, like, 5 and change for, like, a Big Mac meal.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's, like, doubled.
Yeah.
I do say, at least Taco Bell, you can still get a big box for, like, between $5 and $6, depending on which one you get.
You got to know what to order at Taco Bell, because Taco Bell is one of those things, if you, like, do individual items, you could rack up a quick, like, $20, but like if you get the right like package stuff, you can get out of there. Yeah,
right. And like, you know, getting a taco now, I mean, I remember they used to have the advertisements. You could get $59.79.99. That was kind of there. Say $59.79.99 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was like a regular taco $59, a taco supreme for
$79.79,
and like $99 for a burrito supreme or something like that. And you know, that's not the case anymore, but it's not like you're ordering off the dollar menu or $1.50 menu at another restaurant where it's much lesser quality food. It's still the good classic taco that you'd get if you end up buying like a chalupa box. You'd still get the same like nice, you know, like Taco Bell classic taco.
Have we started the show yet? Or are we just talking? Talking?
No, are we recording?
I'm not starting back. We've been recording this whole time.
Oh,
Greg.
Yeah. I didn't know we'd started the show. Here is how I had planned to start the show, honestly. And because this convoluted story I'm about to tell you leads fairly directly to a Hee Haw 3, a story of mine. Okay. Jeopardy the other day, I didn't watch it, but it became a news story, so I read about it. This woman from California Had an epic fail on one of her answers, which is posed as a question, of course.
This is good.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I hope I do. If there's another one, then...
Yeah, they showed a video of Scott Hamilton figure skating in the 1984 Olympics.
It was just a picture from waist up.
Right. The category was 40 years ago for $600. And it's Scott Hamilton. She has to identify Scott Hamilton. And her answer is... Who is Mary Lou Retton? So she gets not only the sport wrong, but the gender wrong.
Look, the clue was this person won a gold medal and did like three triple jumps in their 4-minute routine. So there wasn't anything that, like, if you weren't paying attention to clue in. Now, Scott Hamilton and Mary Lou Retton, similar haircuts, but still, yes, Greg, epic fail. It was incredible.
It was great. And here's what led me to even mention that. Okay, you all know that the original guitarist in the Hee Haw 3 was named Merle Waxman. Okay,
of course.
Yeah. Well, just for laughs, I Googled the name Merle Waxman, thinking, that can't be a real name, right? It turns out there's a fairly prominent Merle Waxman, but it's a woman.
Okay.
Okay, I guess it's not just Merle Haggard. There are women named Merle. So the real life modern day Merle Waxman is like a big professor at Yale, like a very prominent woman in the Northeast in education. And she's like, got a big resume. And I just find that very interesting. And then I immediately Googled Skins a Marink, and there was nobody, nothing well, came up.
He went missing in 1983. And I mean, right. You know,
that's true. And was never found.
So the Hee Haw, Chris, I don't know if you know this, the Hee Haw 3 is in demand.
I've heard
we have had people reach out to us about playing shows like as soon as next month. Now, we aren't going to be able to make the one that's for next month, but
right.
We are in demand.
Yeah. The one that I heard that's next month was supposed to be like a St. Patrick themed one that I heard about.
Mm-hmm.
And that one worries me because a random bar in a random state is going to draw a big crowd on St. Patrick's Day. Like, we need this to be Lebatard centric. People only.
Very
like,
much
I
so.
Feel like for the Hee Haw 3, like, I feel like you guys are going to get booed off the stage if it's just a rowdy St. Patrick's Day crowd being like, who the hell?
Right.
It would be like, as long as we live, that would be like Zion's shoe, though.
It would be funny to like hear my dad trying to like calm down a heckling crowd of like, no, I'm telling you, you know, rink-a-ma-dink and, you know, like talking about made up Merle Waxman, and then we bring up the Yale professor on stage. Right.
What we should do in North Carolina every April, there is in Wilkesboro, there is a festival called Merle Fest. And it is, Greg, have you ever heard of Doc Watson?
Yes.
Okay. So Doc was a blind guitarist from near Boone, North Carolina, where App State is. Deep gap, if we're getting serious. But his son Merle died in a, if I remember right, a tractor accident.
Oh my God.
And so they started a festival called Merle Fest every year. And if we're really living right, we'll find a way to get on the bill at Merle Fest and Greg will turn it all into he'll say it's about Merle Waxman, but it'll just, of course, be turn into celebrating Greg.
Now, when I heard you just say that there was a Merle Fest, I just, in my mind, I was like, okay, we got to find a Greg Fest. So I typed in Greg Fest, and there is. It's Greg with two G's.
Ooh. Oh, boy.
We should go protest that.
Be careful. Tread lightly before you get too critical, because Greg Fest is a 2-day music festival held at Northern Vermont University in Lindenville, Vermont, in memory of a guy named Jake Gregg, spelled with two G's, student who passed away.
Wow.
I'm just saying it was started because of a tragedy, but you know, maybe the Hee Haw 3 could play Greg Fest one day.
Well, yeah, it's possible.
The first tragedy was having two G's at the end of his name.
Yeah, although in a surname, it's like it's involuntary. You know, you almost can't help it. So I have a little forgiving there.
We're claiming if it was one G that he might still be.
Yes.
Is that where we're?
Okay. He might still be alive, quite frankly.
I feel like we've gone. You know, a when far.
It's so weird to me that my whole life I just assumed that Merle Fest, which I've heard of, was in honor of Merle Haggard. I always assumed it because I've never been to it. I've never read about it, but I've heard about it. And I just always assumed it was Merle Haggard related. That is so weird.
Yeah, no, it's no all about Merle Watson. Because yeah, Merle Haggard has no connection outside of his music to and white people to Wilkesboro, North Carolina. But okay. That's right. That's where we were living there when Wilco was born. And it's a big deal. I mean, Willie Nelson's played there. I think Dolly Parton's played there. The Avett Brothers play there every few years.
Has Earl Watson ever played there?
I do not know that Earl Watson has ever played there.
That is weird. Christopher, are you at liberty to tell me how was your New York trip? How was your New York experience? Because I haven't talked to you about it, and I'm interested.
I had a long weekend with a quick trip to New York, 48 hours back for South Beach Food and Wine, which Christy and I had planned before Christmas. It was a Christmas gift from me to her. So like we would have honestly spent the whole weekend in New York, but because of South Beach Food and Wine that we had on Saturday, it turned into two straight days in New York back at like midnight Friday to go to South Beach Food and Wine on Saturday. And it was a ton of fun. Man, I fell in love with New York this week, honestly.
Yeah, it's great.
I've been there multiple times, most of the time for work, a couple times when I was younger with you guys. I really learned this weekend how terribly we did New York as a family growing up. Like, we just did Times Square, like the worst place that everyone in New York is consensus. Like, yeah, you maybe want to look at it for like an hour, but get out of there and get it. Like, we stayed in the heart of like, and God bless mom. Like, you guys tried. It probably cost an arm and a leg to do what we did.
I was just thinking to myself and biting my tongue from saying anything that Christopher. Am I hearing this right?
No.
Is Christopher bitching about a vacation to New York as a kid?
I'm not
where
bitching
his
about it.
Spent thousands of dollars.
I am in hindsight realizing how we should have stayed in like every other place except there, and then we should have gone into there and then gotten out. My point is just the research on where should we stay, and you guys coming up with in the middle of Times Square is a little funny.
So you stayed in Chelsea, I think, which is a nice area.
Chelsea, I love the West Village. I like the Rockefeller Center too. Like I like, but it was just the weather and the sunset. I took this one picture. I'm gonna literally get it framed for my house. I put it on Twitter. That is just me with my phone, like looking right after we had pizza. I just stumble out here. I look to the right. I'm like, oh my God, this is gorgeous. It was just Graceland loved it. We saw Hamilton. We couldn't have done more in the 48 hours. I had this place Wu Hop that's on it's in Chinatown. I just kind of I stumbled upon it. I looked at like one website, but apparently it's like one of the best spots there, and we just had great food. We went to John's Bleecker's, the best pizza I've ever had. It was just great food, great time with the family. Central Park, we did a carriage ride around Central Park, even though it smelled like shit half the time because of the horses.
Yeah, horse shit.
And one time we got out for a picture photo op, and we get right back in, and our horse starts like freaking out, and we had to like jump out of the carriage, and the guy's like, "Oh, sorry, sorry," and like, so like it was kind of funny, but
it wasn't Calmly, was it? My racehorse, like, because Calmly hasn't raced in months. I'm just want to make sure that they're not like running around for. No,
this horse was named Frantically.
Okay,
so, yeah, this was Frantically.
Okay, so how did Graceland experience? What's it called?
Hamilton?
She
was great. Hamilton. She was great. I mean,
because she knows some of the songs, right?
She knows all the songs. I mean, the first act is just a bang. Like, I'd put the first act in Hamilton up against any Broadway show in history. The second act, you know, it starts to drone? It starts to, you know, the second act, you're kind of getting tired. But man, the first act is just banger after banger after banger. And yeah, she loved it. It was just, we had great seats. There's not really a bad seat in that place. That's like a small theater. Like, it was not that big. And just seeing that stage up close, I know they move around and you've seen it in Fort Lauderdale, but just like seeing the real one that you know that the main cast started on. And I don't know, man, we're really into Hamilton. Like, it was...
What theater was it?
It's called the Rogers Theater or something.
Oh, wow. I think that's named after Rogers of Rogers and Hammerstein, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
Or maybe it's named after Merle Haggard.
It's something Rogers, like Richard Rogers, Rogers.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think that is it, actually.
Yeah.
Christopher, I have to be very, very honest with you. You sound like you had a 2 or 3 day, starting in New York and then ending at the Wine and Food Festival. You honestly had three glorious days in a row that you genuinely loved.
Yeah. And then yesterday we did like a wine tasting, which is more Christie's thing. They all taste the same to me. I got a whole thing for wine people. I'm going to save that for the Lebatard show. I know how mad that makes you to hear me say that. But I just, I hate when I do a thing here and then I go and reuse it there. So I'm going to tease it.
Okay.
I'll tell people that I'm going to rip it. Like, I'm going to rip wine people. Like, when we're talking about, there's beer people out there. These people that are enthusiasts. Like, Dad, you were drinkers, but we're casual about all this stuff. Like,
right.
There are people out there that are really into beer.
Right.
There are people that are really into, like, liquor. And there are people that are really into wine. And I want to, like, just dissect these type of people. Because I think wine people might be the worst of those three.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to plumb any deeper. But speaking of the Lebatard show, I did want to ask you about this, because when I was in last week and the subject of the Cyclones came up, the highlight team, several things really surprised me that I was hearing for the first time. I didn't know that the team sucked, that it had gone from champion of the league to really, really bad.
Well, that was, remember, we're talking in like a season where I think we have 20 something matches, we're three matches in. So like, we've gotten off to like, I think we, through our first three matches, we had only won three. You know how there's like six matches? Like, I think we were like 3-15 through the first 3 weeks. So like,
but the other thing that surprised me was I very much got the impression that Mike has sort of taken over as the quote unquote owner and that you like don't even go there anymore. Is that true?
No. Like, did I miss? Was I not in that day?
I don't think you were.
Chris goes a lot. The last, like that Friday's game, Chris was doing something else. I can't even remember what it was.
No, I had a concert.
Like, Chris.
We've only had one Friday. Like I missed. Yeah. And just like last year, a couple, like Mike misses some too, where I'm there without him. Okay. Like,
who owns the Cyclones?
Did Mike say on air like that hits him now? Like, did he like make a...
No, but you know Mike. He's let's put it this way. He mentioned that he had yelled at the team. Like, he called the team.
Oh, no.
He texted players during the match.
No, that was because he was there that night. One of the bad matches, I was not there. So he was there. And apparently, I wasn't there for it. So I don't know the exact details. But apparently, there was some sort of post-match. Mike gathered them all in and was just like, this is not... Yeah.
I love Greg hearing this from the perspective of a defensive father. Like, I want to take up for my son, but no, as a fan, no, I didn't hear it that way at all.
Yeah.
But I love the idea of Greg like getting defensive for Chris, even though Chris infuriates him so much.
Yeah.
Well, I am, because what I heard was, all right, Mike is usurping power. Mike is all of a sudden the de facto owner of the Cyclones. What about Christopher? That was my first thought. I almost said something on the show and Mike and I would have gotten into an argument.
I appreciate that, Dad.
So are you the owner still?
But I think you just created a riff where there is none. No, I mean, no, we're good.
But who's the owner?
I mean, we both like that. Like, do you really like want the nuts and bolts in this? Like the Lebatard show is.
Okay. I like to know the truth.
Now I feel like he's actually kind of backhandedly putting you down. He's subtweeting you. Who is the real owner, Chris? Admit it. You're not the owner. You could never be the owner of a highlight team.
I know. I feel like I almost just revealed too much. I mean, I don't think anyone actually out there thinks that like I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars in this.
Yeah,
like,
sure. But I'm basically gonna
like, I'm the face. Mike and I like the show bought a team, and Mike and I are the ones that they were like, you guys go be the
putting it in your stead.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I'm offering to do? Because I know the Cyclones need a little bit of a bump. I am offering to go to the next match
and faint
during the match. Just because those were the glory days of the Cyclones, right? When I fainted, like, I feel like me fainting at that match really led to that championship season.
Yeah.
I think that was after they won the championship and you fainted during the season when they really tanked bad.
Yeah. I think my dad was actually not. I don't think my dad could be more wrong about what he's saying right now. I think,
they're like 8 seasons a year. So
I think it was like our worst season ever. We actually, when you fainted. So
maybe don't faint.
But we do need something in there. So maybe that's the thing. I'll offer it up to the team.
We rally the team around Greg's fainting, right? Let's win this one for Greg.
I want to mention something about Starbucks, and I want your instant reaction from both of you.
Did it cost just as much as Whataburger? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, here's the thing. Are you ready? Starbucks, I'm just going to say a flat sentence. Starbucks is selling pork-flavored coffee in China.
Ugh.
Okay, that's Christopher's reaction. What do you think, Yeti?
Neither Chris or I are coffee guys, so... Well, but the idea of a pork flavored drink, I mean, just give me some broth.
That sounds good. Pork broth. But coffee,
is that, do you think that's what it, like, is it just now it's the coffee grounds, but instead of water, they put in
the pork broth?
Pork broth.
I don't know what they do, but it just sounds horrible. And I feel sorry for China. I know that's a terribly oppressive government, but its citizens do not deserve pork flavored coffee. I am so against flavored coffee that I won't, sometimes these little cups they give you, instead of regular cream, it's hazelnut cream for some reason. I won't even use that. Like, that's how much I hate flavored coffee of any kind. 100%, no exceptions.
You just made me, for some reason, that coffee brought me back to New York, and I just, like, thought of something else. We have to take a break, but after my little story. Why is everyone in New York? And man, like, one of the other good things that you love about New York is just you feel like everyone is going somewhere important. Like, it just feels like a city filled with people that it's like, I got a meeting and I got to get over here. Like, everyone's right on the phone. Every single person you walk by is by themselves on a commute with the with their earpiece in.
Yep.
And they're just mid conversation. You hear so many quick little snippets of, I can't believe that.
Yeah.
And that's all you hear, or it's just like, I told him 7 times, and that's all you hear from this thing. And it's just like, I don't know how many times you have to hear, he's just not into you. And it's just like, you hear like just little snippets of life, and it just makes you feel alive. It's just the subway. It's just, there's so many different types of people, business people, construction workers, tourists. It's just, it makes me feel alive. I know you have to be like a millionaire to live there.
Right.
Because like I visited my friend Anthony Vaca, who lives there, who like is just like, dude, yeah, New York's great, but you can't do anything for under like $200. So you better have.
How's Anthony?
He's good.
By the way, you telling that story about just hearing like little tiny snippets of conversation in the maelstrom that is New York, it would be funny to contribute to that by saying weird things. Like if somebody else is telling your version of that, they would say, and then I heard somebody say, and I had my left ear amputated, and that's all I heard. you know,
it's Mad Libs. It's Mad Libs on the street.
The Greg Cody Show's the best podcast.
That's what you there should you just go. Be. As you pass by people, you just.
And then he said, "Zagaki."
Exactly.
The guy says Brad when he burps.
Oh, that would be funny. I should have given you.
It would be funny to who?
It would be funny to us. To see the reaction of somebody saying, and then he says Zagaki, because it might be a fan, and then they go, yeah, Greg Cody Show, right? Or Levitard Show. I should have given you a handful of Greg Cody Show stickers to vandalize and graffiti the city with.
I got recognized one time in New York on the air at the airport heading back, like on the Fort Lauderdale flight waiting for the...
So someone going back to where you're from,
someone
right?
going to back to where audience. I'm from.
Right.
Okay. And just was like, hey, are you Chris Cody? Yep. I did get recognized at South Beach Food and Wine a couple times, but...
Yeah? By who? Anybody famous there? Guy Fieri was there or no?
Yeah, Guy Fieri recognized me.
Did he?
No. It was just some guy at a restaurant. It was just some... I don't know his name. I don't ask everyone's name that meets me. Like,
you should.
I don't take
do
a long interest.
Do you think our sponsors still recognize our show? We should recognize them and find out.
Let's do it.
No, I'm wondering who the famous people were. What? What happened?
Eddie was trying to transition.
We've been trying to go to break for 4 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Do that again. Sorry. I'm an amateur.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Music.
Folks, let me talk to you about Sheets and Giggles, our lovers. We love them so much. President's Day sale still going on. $460 off of mattress. I'm telling you, that is a huge percentage for a great quality mattress. Also, get their sheets, get their pillows, get their sex machine. Actually, they don't have a sex machine. They're working on that. Colin told me they're working on sex machines.
That's Colin.
Yeah, Colin has a sex machine, but that's just...
No, he is.
Right, no, that's right. I misread the email. Colin is a sex machine. Okay. That was just a note. That was just a PS like at the bottom. Anyways, sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code Greg, $460 off of a mattress right now. Your wife, your husband, your lover will love this gift. They will wake up and they will say, how do you know where to buy mattresses from? You're an idiot. And you could say, because Sheets and Giggles told me where to buy it. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code Greg for a ton of money off of a mattress.
Wow, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
You know what you could do? Everybody talks nowadays about bundling this and bundling that. You could bundle a brand new Sheets and Giggles mattress with a Hee Haw 3 t-shirt from the Greg Cody merch store, and then that would be like the doubleheader of all time.
Generally,
who
a bundle
of that.
Generally, a bundle would be on the same site where you have to can do it all in once, but you'd have to go to two websites here, so it wouldn't be a bundle at all. But if you'd like to do that, thank you.
Double the pleasure.
And Greg, what is that site? Where can they go to get Hee Haw 3 shirts?
Yeah. You know, whatever it's called. What is it called?
We should get a website called whateveritscalled.com for my dad.
It's hee-haw. So if you want hee-haw 3 shirts, it's hee-haw.thegregcodyshow.com. If you want to support The Greg Cody Show, it's just shop.thegregcodyshow.com. Go. Enjoy.
Yeah. Bye.
I want to see all you hotties out there wearing our shirts soon.
Is that the thing? Yeah, I saw
that's,
I saw
yeah, that's
that on
our
Twitter.
Fans are the hotties.
Yeah,
you feeling
the
hot?
The H-A-W-T-I-E-S?
Zagak.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. The hotties.
Yeah, the hotties. I texted that to you like 4 days ago with no response.
I know. I wasn't sure I knew what the hell you were talking about.
Even I did what he wanted me to do on Twitter from New York.
Thank you, yep. Chris.
Yeah. By the way, I while he was in New York, I text Christopher a new song of mine.
Yeah, I didn't listen to that.
He doesn't even, not only doesn't he not respond, he didn't even listen to it. Speaking of being disrespected, how about Dad Jokes and Three Facts Jack?
What is that song?
It's a John Anderson song called I've Got It Made.
And you just sing it?
Yeah.
Like, it's not for the show. It's just,
you know.
Sometimes I like to sing to my son.
Occasionally I send Christopher a song thinking if he likes it, something will happen with it. He will send it to Yeti.
Wait, is this Greg's version?
Here comes the good stuff, yeah.
Okay.
We hope so.
A high dollar woman in a low-cut dress. God never wanted me to have a woman.
And like that, I guess. John Anderson, big
a
hero of mine.
A 40-room mansion sitting high on a hill. Yes.
I ain't never lived in a place like that, and I never will.
See, like, this is so funny because, like, you on stage in the Hee Haw 3, those songs sound like, this just sounds like an idiot singing into his phone drunk.
And that's exactly what it is.
That's how we all start. We all start by sounding like idiots into our phones, and maybe we can make something good.
No. I mean, I've mentioned before, I want to push the Hee Haw 3 more toward a country sound, which I'm sure I'll get resistance on, but that was the genesis of that. So dad jokes, huh? How about that?
Go for it.
Number 3. What rock band loves Thanksgiving the most? Dead Air.
Hold on.
That'd be a good name for a rock band, Dead Air.
It would. Go ahead.
The Cranberries.
Okay. I see what you're doing.
Begrudging acceptance from Yeti on that one.
I see what you're doing. It didn't get a laugh, but I get it.
Number 2. What was the rabbit's job at the hotel?
Hopper. Bellhop.
Bellhop is the correct answer. But that was your second answer, so...
Oh, pfft.
You don't get it. Number 1, who invented King Arthur's round table?
Go ahead.
Circumference.
Okay. I kind of like that one.
That's pretty good.
I like that. The circumference.
That's pretty good. 3 facts, Jack?
There are 3 things that interest him, so sit right back for 3 facts, Jack.
Number 3, the world's biggest adult insect, the tree weta, W-E-T-A, native to New Zealand, is a creature with a cricket-like body, but the size of a gerbil.
Oh, weird.
A tree wetter.
I'm still laughing at the name, a tree wetter.
Number two.
It's like a bad AOL screen name from 2002.
There are two oft-violated rules of etiquette involving raising a toast in someone's honor. One is that the recipient of the toast should never participate and drink in his or her own honor. Hmm. The other is that glasses should never be clinked.
Wow, I disagree.
Well,
I'm a big clinker. I'm a big clinker. Like, I got to make contact with everything I can reach. Like, if I can reach you and we don't clink, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. No, I'll
comment on it. I comment on it. I'll be like, me and Sarah didn't clink. It's fine.
Yeah. I'm a clinker too, and I judge clinking. Like, you don't want to clink too hard. You want to barely tink.
There were a couple of people at the wine tasting thing I did at Food and South Beach Food and Wine. There were seven things of wine, and there were people, you heard it every time when he's like, all right, moving on to number four, you'd hear the like two people like, all right, let's cheers this one, like, oh god, okay. So like anytime he'd be like, all right, on to the next one, you'd hear clink, clink.
I like the idea of Greg Cody, arbiter of clinks.
I am.
It was funny to see the people that were in there just to taste wine and had a lot to do that day, and the people that only had that to do and they were in there to drink every sip of liquid put in front of them.
Right.
Clink Arbiter was Merle Waxman's brother-in-law.
Like, most people are just literally like, they don't finish any of the wines. So like when the whole thing's done and most of the wine is still all there because you're just sipping each one. And then there was one guy this guy got it sitting in front of me. This guy, he like anytime it's like, all right, number one. 30 seconds later, gone. Completely empty. All right, moving on to number two.
Yeah, you have to. Like, are you kidding me? I would finish the wine that other people leave.
It was funny to just survey the room and see who were the people that were, like, you know, it was funny.
Yeah. Chris Cody's people watching skills might be some of my favorite things about you. That is your wheelhouse.
I love it. That's what I love about these events more than anything. Or like being out, like drinking with people, like just kind of sitting around and just kind of just like observing, like, oh yeah. Look,
Fremont must have been just a world of delight for you.
Oh look, there's Urban Meyer. See, I just love it.
Your dad, because I had heard you guys. We'll get to your last fact in just a second, Greg. I know we're interrupting, but you're I heard you all talk on Monday's episode about the nun on Fremont.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And so when I'm walking back, trying to save my voice and your dad's voice, when we're walking back, your dad's commenting like, "So what's with the circles?" And I was trying to explain everything to him, and then he's like, but someone's dressed up as a nun. I'm like, look again, Greg.
I said,
I think there might be some.
Thank God for pasties. Am I right, boys?
Greg Turner was like, oh.
It's just so outrageously sacrilegious that it's funny. You know, like you can't be, I don't know. It's so weird.
I think that's part of the, like, the irony of it is why they do it. I think it's like, look, we're nuns, but here are boobs.
Kind of, for sure. Hey, nuns have boobs. Let's be perfectly frank.
All right, there's our cold open.
Number one, we all know the word boycott means a refusal to buy, interact with, or support. But why the word? Well, it arose from a 19th century British landlord and a tenant uprising over his refusal to lower rent in a time of famine. The landlord's name? Charles C. Boycott.
Okay. I thought it was going to be, where my mind went there, it was like, we need to, you know, we're a progressive nation now. Girl caught.
Okay. Greg caught.
He got me.
There are three things that interest him, so sit right back for three facts, Jack.
You should work that into the show, the Levitard show this week. It like, just be like, I'm thinking of Greg cotting them. Like, just as if everyone knows what it is.
That's a good idea.
Your classic, where one minor thing goes wrong and you swear like against that place. It's a Greg cot.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. By the way, for those of you,
a Greg cot is also what some people call you.
Yeah, that's one of the many mispronunciations of my last name. Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not.
I don't think it's ever intentional. Who's like, this guy? I'm gonna call him cot.
Oh, like if I'm ordering something and then, what's your name again? Is COTE?
Yeah, but you Cott? Say it's intentional. You just said sometimes it's intentional, as if somebody knows your name and intentionally mispronounces it.
A few people I know do.
I mean, Neil Rogers, wouldn't he mispronounce your name on purpose?
Well, he would call it Kotex. you know, just to, you know, just to be mean.
Which I believe is a feminine product.
Yeah, yeah. Ridiculously misogynistic of him to do that.
Like the Miami area, former Dolphin player, Miami area guy, Joe Rose, really big down here.
The big dog.
The big dog. Every time he sees me, he says, "How you doing, Coat?" And he knows how to pronounce my name, but his nickname for me is Coat. And that's the way it is. And so,
how come he never has you on his show?
I think he has an arrangement with the Sun Sentinel.
Okay, because I listen. His show is honestly, like, a lot of times if I'm driving into work, I'll just, like, if I feel like I need a little local, like, sports refresher, I just
very
throw that
sportsy.
I throw that show on, and he has Dave Hyde on a lot. And every time, I'm always like, interesting.
Yeah. No, we're friendly. If we see each other in an event, which isn't that often, we'll say howdy.
We wanted to make sure he wasn't Greg Cotting you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
You should say to him, you should be like, "What's up, Rosé?"
Rosé. I like that. That's not a bad idea. I'm going to do that. By the way, I just got my internet is unstable alert again. Remember the problem we had with that last week? I hope we don't have a problem this week, but we're almost wrapping it up anyway. So that kind of thing. Anybody else got anything? I'm out of material.
I took a massive shit on the plane coming back from New York. And it was like after eating such good, it was like the best eating day of my life. Like the best Chinese food I've ever had, a best pizza I've ever had, one of the best cookies I've ever had in between.
Jesus.
And then I felt like I needed to top all that off by having a milkshake at the airport.
Oh my God.
So this is what my stomach is. And then, you know, I'm holding, cause I'm like, I let one fart out on the plane and my wife is like, "Did you fart?" And I was like, "Damn it." So I was like, all right, no. So then I had like an hour's worth of like just holding it. You know, when you're just like, you got to fart a lot, but it's like, you're just like holding it in. So it's just like the stomach is just like, and then like midway through the flight, I was just like.
And it's turning, was it turning into a Kenny Rogers situation, a gambler?
Midway. No. I wasn't worried about whether I just kept having to hold in farts. And I just know that's not good for your stomach where it's like this thing wants to get out of you. So it's just like I was like, you know what? I'm going to go into the bathroom and I'm just going to sit there for 5 minutes and I'm just going to fart a lot. But I ended up going. And I don't know why I felt like I needed to throw that in the end of the show. But
well, same. I'm very self-conscious about
I'd never shit on planes. Like
I planned that out. Like I will dehydrate myself before the flight. And I will not eat as much before the flight because I know it's going to be trouble.
It might have been the second time I've ever actually shit on a plane. Like, I don't ever shit on a plane.
I do that occasionally, but when I do, I make sure it's a QK because if other people are like me, when I see somebody go into an airplane bathroom, my mental clock is on.
See,
like, I'm timing them.
But at the back of this plane, there was two bathrooms. So I got back there. And I knew that the one next to me, they were both vacant. So I knew I didn't have to freak out until I heard, because I could hear someone go into the other one. So like for the first 6 minutes, I sat there without any stress because I knew that the other one was vacant.
Okay.
So I was like, if someone shows up here, there's no line, they'd go into this one. Once I heard someone come into this one, I was like, all right, time to get up because now someone could be waiting outside.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I judge people who are in too long. You know, if you're in a bathroom.
But it's probably somebody who has to fart a lot and they don't want to do it. Like they're trying to be, that's like being, like you think someone wants to hang out in there?
I got so mad coming back from Vegas because I try not to have to go, but I did. I had to pee and I'm in there and we hit turbulence. Like luckily it was after I was washing my hands.
You're a big dude too. You're just like filling that whole thing up.
And I don't, and like I'm germaphobic. I'm pretty germaphobic.
Oh, wow.
And luckily
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So luckily I wasn't in the middle of going to the restroom when it happened.
You turn
I just
right
finished washing
like,
my hands and all of a sudden turbulence and I'm like knocked up all against the walls and everything.
You turn your body to the right, you're like face to face with the mirror. You're like,
right. I hate it so bad. But yeah, but then I was like in it wallowing all over the walls because the turbulence knocked me over and that was annoying. But could have been worse.
Yep.
Could have been worse, but still hated that so much.
Airlines need to advance their restroom situation. They can make the restrooms a little bit bigger. Cruise ships did that. Cruise ship restrooms used to be notoriously small.
You just get bigger rooms now. They're still small. Like I love how my dad's like,
okay,
these bathrooms. It's like, Dad, you had like the presidential suite the last cruise you were on.
Fair.
Okay,
yeah, President Cody.
The rooms inside with no balcony or no window, like those are still small bathrooms.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore. You're right.
So I have a topic. Okay. It's something that I've been wanting to talk about, how I speak another language called horse Latin, but that's a story for another time.
Wow. Okay.
But we'll call that a tease.
A tease.
But I actually been curious, what's the longest that either of you have had regular interactions with someone but not known their name?
There's some people at our Metal Arc office that I'm not positive their name.
Right.
Because we have like 20 or there's like 30 people on some days. Right. There's oddball producers and like people video team and like.
But like, do you talk to those people on a like daily or two or three times a week basis?
It's just like I've had very little like actual one-on-one. I just say but,
like,
hello.
Actual conversation. Like you might have a weekly or two or three times a week conversation with someone and not knowing their name.
Yeah, not really. Why?
That happens to me all the time. A good example is what Christopher said, the Levitard Show Studios, where I couldn't name every person in there. Couldn't even come close. Another example is...
that his name is Billy Gill. Like, I don't know how many times I have to tell you.
I thought it was Guillermo. What do I know? Another example is when your mother takes me to a law event.
Her work events.
Yeah, her work events.
You just got to hit, Dad, you got to hit everyone with good to see you.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Don't hit like nice to meet you. Then they hit you with I met you at last year's thing. Like, good to see you.
A move I learned from Dominique in Vegas when they strolled in when we were all having dinner Tuesday. It was him and Bomani and Charlie Kravitz. And Dominique, such a class act. He went to shake my hand and I was like, yeah, I'm Yeti. I produce Greg's. And he cut me off. He says, I know who you are.
Yeah.
And even if he didn't, like, what a classy move.
Yeah.
It makes you feel good. Yeah. It makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And but there is someone
I'm not sure what that had to do with our story, yet he just wanted to get that in that Dominique like recognized us. Like, yeah. We're talking about people you don't know their name, and he was just like, this guy knew my name.
I've been waiting to drop that one in for a while. Look, later that week he said something I did was sexy. So I mean, you know, he didn't call me sexy, but he said something I did was sexy. That's plenty good for me. Yeah. But so there's this lady that is on the bus, and we get dropped off of our bus. She works in the same building I do, about two blocks. It's about 2 to 3 block walk. And it's dark in Atlanta. She's small and I'm, you know, a big dude. So I will walk with her. She's told me, she's like, thank you for walking with me. And I learned her name at some point some time ago, but I'm terrible on the first try. And we talked. She works in the office 2 to 3 days out of the week. We talk the whole way to our bus stop and at the bus stop in the evening too. 2 to 3 days out of the week, and I don't know her name. And,
wow.
And I've purposely been waiting to ask again until we had this conversation.
What
just
do you
for
go
content.
Like, hey, ma'am, how are you?
No, we just say, hey, how's it going? And I don't know that she knows my name either.
Well, I mean, it's okay. And, you don't have to know each other's names. You got to stumble upon someone at some point with her where you can like hear her talk, tell her name to someone.
That's right. The key.
I do try to listen out for that, and I haven't. And I'm someone who does try to get people's names right. I remember there are three couples from Moss that I met, and I remember their names. And like Will and Savannah, Spencer and AJ, and Suzanne and Alejandro. I remember all you guys, but I don't know this. I don't remember this lady's name. And
I remember them too.
It's been 2.5 years.
Oh wow!
That I've been we've been walking from the bus to work.
Another option: you drop A on Monday. You just hit her with out of the blue. Let's play the name game. The name game. I'll go first. Greg, Phobeb, Bramana, Mana, Phobeb, me, my, Momeb, Greg. Your turn. Go. Anna, Banana, Santa, Brana, Anna.
That would be one way to do it. Another way to do it, but I think the time has passed, the statute of limitations.
How do you spell your name again? My wife was asking.
Then she's going to hit me with a Seinfeld bit and says, it rhymes with some of the female anatomy.
Right. Yeah, that's a dangerous way to question it.
How to spell it? I was trying to write you. I had a card I was going to give you. How do you spell your name again?
Then I got to go buy a card. I hate buying cards.
And then she says a name you can't possibly misspell, like Joy, J-O-Y.
No, I'll just be completely honest, and because it'll be a fun talking point. It's been 2.5 years, and I don't remember your name. And we just talked about this on my show, The Greg Cody Show, Cody out Mondays at 7 a.m., thegregcodyshow.com.
Yep. I have said that to people, but it's usually people that I've met once or twice and talked to. Never like 2-year relationship.
I'm a big, like, when I meet someone, maybe like a listener or something, like, hey, what's up? Oh, what's your name? I'm Chris. Okay. We talk for 6 minutes And then at some point in there, I'm like, oh, this felt actually substantive. What was your name again? Like, say it to me again. Like, what was it again? Like, just
yeah,
so I can
I think
really...
you can do that.
Yeah, the second time, like the second time through, I'm usually good. Like,
I like a back end of the conversation. What was, so I can remember this. What was your name again? Brad. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to forget because not personal Brad. To anybody. I just forget.
There's a lot of people, right?
Names, but yeah, for sure.
I think that's legit to do that. I've done that. And when you get to be my age, you get a little bit more leeway.
Yeah, you're
you know,
old.
People sort of like expect you to not remember their name or whatever. So
because
Greg Cody,
I don't know how to do any of that.
Is old.
Yeah, no, I just said to your mother the other day, what was your name again? And she spelled it for me. And then I remembered it's Earlene.
Is it Arlene? E-A? It's Earl.
Right.
Earlfest.
Exactly. Earlfest.
And on that note, take us out of here, Greg.
Okay.
Me and my brother would call my mom Earl growing up.
That's true. I think Michael still does. Anyway, thank you all. I have no idea what we just talked about, but the time flew, so it must have been okay. Appreciate you all. Thank you very much every week. That kind of thing, so forth and so on. Pick up those Hee Haw 3 shirts in the merch store. Visit Sheets and Giggles because they're the best company on earth, and they really are, even though I'm just saying that. See you next week.